I'm David Schreiner Kahn, and this is Smashing the Plateau. No matter how successful you are, there's probably at least one area where roadblocks are keeping you from fully achieving your goals. Fortunately, you've come to the right place. Every expert I interview on this podcast is different, but they all have one thing in common. They know how to fix problems that keep people stuck. Today, I'm pleased to welcome Gotham Bhadri. Gotham is a leader in building and growing recurring revenue for businesses. As the CEO of Marketing Samurai, a New York-based digital marketing agency, he helps businesses become the leading authority in their niche, acquire new customers, and grow the value of their existing customers through membership, subscriptions, and licensing. After his last company was sold to Fitbit, he also advises entrepreneurs as a sounding board member at his alma mater, Columbia Business School. Gotham, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, David.
Gotham, what does it mean to be an authority?
Well, an authority is somebody who people look up to in their field and they see them as the key influencer. So let's just take, for example, Richard Branson. You know, he's an authority for somebody like myself who's built businesses, he's managed to scale them, and he's managed to generate several streams of passive income through them. So Richard Branson, for me, he's my authority, and businesses who are the authorities within their own individual field also have that similar influence on their audience.
Right. So somebody whom you follow, and you learn from them, you learn from what they do, whether or not you know them personally, and somebody who has an influence on how you conduct business and how you behave.
Exactly. And the key differentiation between somebody who's an authority and somebody who's just an expert is that an authority has an audience who consistently and constantly follows them.
What are some of the things that you think it takes to go from being an expert to being an authority? Right? Because what it sounds like is an authority has expertise in a particular area, but has an audience.
Exactly. The authority doesn't necessarily have to be the most intelligent person or have the most knowledge about a particular topic. What he has to have is the ability to impact an audience and, you know, have that credibility so that the audience feels like they're learning something from that particular authority.
So a lot of people in today's world, and frankly, a lot of people in our audience who have some kind of expertise, whether or not they're the top in their field, but they have a particular niche that they operate in. And many of them would love to be either an authority if they're not really seen as one now, or maybe be more of an authority because it will help them achieve their personal and their business goals.
Absolutely. And the way we help clients do that is by positioning them through their online platforms as credible thought leaders. So we develop blog content for them. We help them through social media. We help also develop course content for them to actually appear as they're the professor on a particular topic. And we also help clients publish books, which again increases their credibility, get them into certain situations where they can deliver speeches and keynote speeches, which again reinforces their personal brand, where they then appear as the authority within a particular field.
Right. Is content creation essential to becoming an authority?
Absolutely, David. It's a huge component of being able to show people really how you think, and then also resonate with your audience, not only when they first read the article, but as they start to build that relationship with you over a period of time, where they might typically visit your old articles and really get an understanding of your story, where you've been, where you've come from, and how you actually look to influence others.
If I've never started creating any content, or maybe I have done some content creation, but it hasn't really worked too well, what should I be thinking about?
Well, first of all, think about what you know that 90% of the other people that you influence don't know. And if you've got something that you have an expertise in, but you don't yet have your audience, just start sharing that expertise online through a blog. And I know it can be a little bit disheartening at times. And several bloggers that I've spoken to, they go 6 months of writing content with no engagement, no comments, very little traffic. And then suddenly, as soon as it gets picked up by, you know, one of the larger sites and you start to becoming a guest author there, you start to build up your credibility and your brand. And as long as you're teaching something that people don't already know, that's the minimum threshold that you have to get over to appear as an authority.
Right. Now let's say you you may not want the authority to be associated with you personally, but more with your company. Is there a difference in the way you might approach content creation?
Yes, the two go hand in hand. So when we help clients, we not only help them, you know, with the CEO branding, but we also help the company become a thought leader in its space as well. So again, we develop content strategies around the company as well as the CEO, so that they both in tandem appear as the authority. And a great example of that would be HubSpot. Their CEO, Dharmesh Shah, he writes a lot of content personally. He does a lot of podcasts, a lot of webinars, and really promotes who he is. But HubSpot as a company also have a lot of speakers and content creators that help position HubSpot as the authority for inbound marketing.
That's a great example. And for any of our listeners that haven't checked out HubSpot, I would encourage you to do so. It really fits in with this conversation.
Absolutely.
Gotham, why is recurring revenue so important? You mentioned passive income as part of something that Sir Richard Branson has done. But why is recurring revenue so important in today's world?
Well, a lot of the business owners that I see, they typically exchange time for money. So they put their hours in, especially consultants, you know, they put their hours in and then they get paid for what they actually have worked. In a recurring revenue model, the impact is not necessarily on the time that you spend with somebody. You're able to generate income regardless of whether you put the hours in or not. So some great examples of recurring revenue or passive income opportunities are membership programs or subscription revenues or even royalties from certain products that you've managed to create and then you can license out. And a great example, I guess, would be one of my previous companies, Switch to Health, which is the company that we sold to Fitbit. We developed two products, and the idea behind them was that you wear these products and it measures how much physical activity you do. And when you get to a certain threshold, it gives you a code on the device that you input into an online platform for points. And then you manage to convert those points into iTunes gift cards or Amazon gift cards. So it's a really great way of rewarding people for physical activity. When we first started the company, we started with a B2C model and we charged people a flat fee to join our program. And people would spend the money, but once they've actually bought the product, that was pretty much it in terms of the end of the relationship. When we actually changed it to more of a B2B model and got corporate wellness clients like Starbucks, National Semiconductor, National Grid, what we did was charge on a subscription basis per employee, which created so much more value within the company. It's something that we didn't have to work for on a regular basis. It wasn't a product that once we sold and recognized the revenue, that was the end of the revenue relationship. And because we'd also developed a couple of patents on the product, we actually licensed out the technology to certain companies like Coca-Cola and a few others around the world. So every time they used our product or used our platform, we could earn a royalty from that. And again, that constant passive income of streams that came through made us a very attractive target for a company like Fitbit to acquire us. So, you know, in summary, it really does help build value in the company. And it also takes away the pressure for an individual to have to feel like they constantly have to put the hours into a business to generate money.
So Gotham, you mentioned several different types of revenues, like memberships, subscriptions, and licensing. What are some of the differences?
So licensing is where you have developed a product and you've got a patent for it. And what you're doing is giving another company the opportunity to use that product. They may decide to adapt it and white label it so that they brand it as their own product. And every time they sell that product, you get a royalty, which is a piece of the transaction or the revenue that was actually generated. So that's with a royalty program when you're licensing out a particular product or technology. With a membership program, if you think about Worldwide Wrestling, they actually have a membership program where people can pay $3.99 a month to become a member to access exclusive content for this wrestling. I don't personally get why people would even pay that in the first place, but they've got over 500,000 subscribers, 500,000 members who are paying this each month just so that they can access this content. So if you've got something where people are willing to pay for on a monthly basis, a membership program would be very good for that. Subscription revenue is very similar. Think, for example, software that you subscribe to, maybe your CRM platform or social media tools. These are typical types of subscription type businesses where you pay for on a monthly basis in exchange for receiving a particular service or software.
Now, do you see a difference between recurring revenue and passive income, particularly with regard to these different kinds of revenue streams?
Well, passive income is something that I really see more on a personal level. So let's just say I was building a real estate portfolio and the income that I was generating from that, from the rental income that was coming in, I'd see that more as passive income. Recurring revenue, I feel, is more applicable for businesses. So if businesses do create that membership model or that subscription model, again, they're generating recurring revenue.
Sounds good. Gotham, how did you learn to acquire, build, and sell businesses?
Well, I learned a little bit about it through my MBA at Columbia Business School. That really gave me the platform for me to decide how to actually structure a company from the beginning so that we could actually sell it once we do reach a certain stage. And I think that definitely gives me an advantage compared to where I was before my MBA. Because in the UK, I'd actually set up a company called Surgigo, which sent patients all around the world for different types of medical and cosmetic treatment. And my big idea was to come to New York, do the MBA, and expand that business all across the US. But once I took a few of the entrepreneurial classes, realized that that model was actually flawed from the beginning because there was no ability to build any kind of competitive advantage. And the competitive advantage is something that's the key element of building a business of value. So I scratched that idea, ended up going through a different path for the next starter. And Columbia Business School really paved the way for me to learn how to actually structure and build a company from the beginning with the sell at the end in mind.
So if you do want to sell your company, if that's your primary goal, what are some of the things you should be thinking about?
Well, if you look at the valuations of some of the companies that have recurring revenue versus companies that don't, the multiple that you get on your free cash flow for the companies that have recurring revenue, and just to give you some examples, the SaaS companies like Infusionsoft or other types of tools like Kissmetrics, their valuation is typically 8 times their free cash flow. Whereas if you actually think about other types of businesses, they typically have a much lower multiple. And if somebody's going to start off from scratch and they want to build a business, really focus on thinking about where you can get these recurring revenue streams from before you actually start your business, and focus on growing that, and you'll start to be a very popular target for acquisition.
That's great. What are some of the mistakes that you made in trying to create recurring revenue streams?
Well, in my current business, Marketing Samurai, when I first launched it, we were actually a company that attracted too many different types of clients from all over the world. We had a battery manufacturer in Harlem, a Wall Street coach in South Korea, a company that incorporates businesses here in New York. And what we found was that although we were doing great work for these clients, we actually didn't feel like we were building significant value from the work that we were doing. So what we did ourselves was start to change the business model. So instead of being a typical agency where you charge a monthly retainer for agency type services, we wanted to change the model and become more of a marketing partner for our clients. And in order to be a marketing partner, what we do is do part retainer and part revenue share basis and have much longer term contracts. So instead of it being a month-to-month basis, we typically have clients work with us for at least 3 years. And what that does is give the business the confidence that we're actually working with their best interests in mind. We're a true marketing partner to them. So we typically go above and beyond what is typically required of a normal marketing agency. And on the back end, what we're able to do is build additional revenue streams from these businesses that come into our account, which again increases the value of our personal business.
Well, it sounds like a big change in thinking.
It is a big change, and I think we were one of the first companies to even offer this to businesses. And judging by the popularity of the inquiries that come through, you can see that it's something that's definitely resonated with a lot of businesses.
Interesting. So what triggered you to come upon this particular model?
It was a combination of wanting to build a business that could potentially run without me. And for that to happen, it had to include revenue streams from companies that could come in without me having to work on it on a very regular basis. So that was definitely a key driving factor. The other thing is just because, like I mentioned before, you really do increase the value of the business once you do have subscription revenue or regular recurring revenue come in. And if I did want to sell the company at any point in the future, I wanted to make sure that I had those revenue streams coming in.
Interesting. Why do you think that many businesses today get stuck or hit a plateau?
A lot of businesses, I find, they don't have a very successful strategy in place for their marketing. Typically, business owners, and you may have seen this yourself, business owners always reach a stage where they reach their own level of incompetence. So they're very strong at what they do individually. Let's just take, for example, a doctor or a dentist. They're very good at doing the same procedure over and over again, and they become the expert. However, they're not very good at actually investing the time in marketing their business, and a lot of the time they don't even know how to market their business. And it can get quite confusing for a lot of businesses in today's world because there are so many options. I read an article the other day that there's actually 143 different ways of generating traffic to your website. And when you're dealing with that many options, it can actually lead to paralysis analysis, where people have so many decisions to make or so many options to choose from that they end up choosing none. So our job is to come in and work with these types of businesses who have the expertise and the aspirations to become the number one authority within their field. And we put together a plan where we only focus on three or maybe four sources of traffic and put together an end-to-end marketing funnel so that people can actually get converted. When they come to your site, you can increase conversions into your email marketing opt-ins, and then we can convert those people into customers who then become potential referrers for you for business in the future.
So have a strategy for what you want to do, have a plan, but keep the plan really simple.
Exactly.
And I would imagine also have some really clear metrics so you can tell how well your plan is succeeding.
Exactly. And this is why I love digital marketing so much. You're able to measure all of the different actions that people take on your website. So whether they come to your website, where they've come from, how many people are there, what are your conversion rates, what do they download, even with your emails, and then do they open up your emails, how many click through, when they do click through, what do they purchase, how many times do they purchase, after they do purchase, do they purchase your upsell? There's so many different metrics that we like to measure for our clients. And the other key thing about having a very strong, you know, metric system in place is that from a business owner standpoint, it's very important to understand how much it costs to acquire one customer and what the revenue potential of that customer is. And if you get to a stage where the revenue that you're generating is much more than the cost that you have to acquire that customer, then you're in a position where you can start to scale your business quite considerably. And it can be a little bit more difficult to work out with a membership or subscription style offering because of the fact that, you know, there are some subscribers that do stay with you, you know, for a very long time. So in those situations, you typically want to take an average just to get an understanding of, you know, how much a potential customer is worth to you. And, you know, using those metrics, you're able to do that and scale your business that way.
That's a really key metric.
Absolutely. The two most important metrics you can measure are those two.
Gotham, what are some of the things you see that really catapults businesses to the next level?
That's a great question. With the types of clients that we work with, they typically operate at the, you know, 1 million to 10 million revenue mark, and they're looking to double or triple their sales within the next 3 years. So I've spotted a common pattern with a lot of these business owners where they're in a position where, as the CEO, they're typically working in their business 24/7. And people who've read the E-Myth know that it's very important to work on your business and try and have the business operate without you.
Particularly when a business is that size.
Exactly, particularly when a business is that size, correct. And at that level, you've typically got a small team, maybe 5 to 7 employees. And you're also at the level where your time demands are probably greater than when you first started the business. Because not only are you responsible for the management of the employees, but you're responsible for the marketing, generating revenue, and, you know, all of the sales, all of the different non-revenue generating activities that you typically have to get involved in a business. So what we do when we come in, we get the business owner to focus their time purely on revenue generating activities, and for them to be able to outsource or delegate anything that isn't revenue generating to other people. And once they get to that stage where they can start to delegate, you know, some of these key tasks, but non-revenue generating tasks, we start to see that business really has that potential to grow much, much quicker. The other thing is, just outside of, you know, systemizing the business, just being able to put together an end-to-end marketing plan. I know so many businesses that haven't even thought, or maybe even given it just very little thought, about how they're actually going to market their business over the next 12 months. And for me, that's like driving down a road without having any kind of map, where you don't know what your destination is going to be. And even worse, it's like driving blindfolded. So having a marketing plan in place where you really get to understand how your customer journey is throughout their interaction with your business is a really key element to understanding which elements you can optimize to then grow your business faster.
Yeah, having a plan is really critical, because if you don't, you're more than likely to go in the wrong direction.
Exactly.
Even with a plan, very often we end up going in the wrong direction, but at least we have something, some basis upon which to compare it.
Exactly. You're right.
Gotham, you mentioned Sir Richard Branson earlier as somebody who's been an influencer that you followed. Are there other influencers that have been pivotal for you in your career?
I mean, Richard Branson's definitely the standout. Coming from the UK myself, you know, he was the aspirational leader, the typical anti-business hero, but not just, you know, for what he's achieved, but the way he achieved it, enjoying all of the successes and failures along the way. So from an inspirational standpoint, definitely Richard Branson. The other two key people that I feel has made a big impact. Number one is Dan Kennedy. He's a very popular author for people, especially entrepreneurs. And he teaches you the importance of time management for entrepreneurs and the importance of maximizing your revenue per hour output. I've really learned a lot from him through his books. The other person who's not as familiar in the US as maybe some of the other key individuals, but his name's Roger Hamilton. He has developed a financial pyramid which shows people how to go from the bottom of the pyramid, which is where you've got a lot of bad debt and bad credit cards, to then progressing up the chain where you become an employee, you're exchanging your time for money, then working your way up to setting up a business, to then becoming a business owner where the business can run without you, going all the way to the top of the pyramid where you become a global influencer, where your message then impacts a much larger audience and you're able to do it on a much larger scale. So those three, Dan Kennedy, Richard Branson, and Roger Hamilton, are three very pertinent people that I feel have made a big impact in my life.
They're great examples, and they're all different. Gotham, who do you know personally who is currently doing remarkable work?
Well, I'm lucky to have had two great personal role models, my father and my father-in-law. They're both doctors in the UK, but they've got very different approaches to life. Just to give you a quick background, both emigrated from India to the UK in the 70s, and each came with about $5 in their pocket. My father, his approach was to study hard, go to a good school, get a career, work hard for 40 years, then retire and have the freedom to do what you want. And he's managed to do that, and all credit to him. That's his life story. That's what he wanted to do, and he managed to go ahead and do it. My father-in-law's approach was a little bit different. When he grew up, all he wanted to do was to be able to afford his own scooter. And then he came with dreams and aspirations when he came to the UK. And he ended up deciding to not only be a doctor, but also create and build businesses that generated recurring passive cash flow so that he could do whatever he wanted when he wanted. So I know it sounds a little bit rich dad, poor dad, and it was actually very similar. My father-in-law, although it takes a lot more responsibility, he's actually managed to build a portfolio of surgeries, pharmacies, real estate, nurseries, and nursing homes from scratch. And now he's actually working on building a dementia village in the UK. So I'm excited to see how that actually goes and develops. They've both definitely had an impact on me. I can see how they've both rubbed off on me. And I can see how, from my father, I was inspired to go to London School of Economics and then do the MBA at Columbia Business School and working hard to get the marketing award. And then from an entrepreneurial perspective, I'm always trying to push myself to be better than I ever thought was possible. Become financially free through businesses and by running them and by making a positive difference to society along the way.
They're great examples. Gotham, what are you working on now? What do we have to look forward to from you and your business?
Well, it's quite an exciting time. 2016, we've been in business now for 3.5 years. We've tweaked our model. And what we're seeing is that there's a number of businesses that still need our help. So we're going to be launching an academy program that will help business owners achieve three things mainly. One is to double their business sales and profits through online marketing. The second, because I see just how time-pressed a lot of business owners are, we're helping them create an extra 10 hours of time per month by systemizing and automating their business. And we're also teaching people how to build additional recurring revenue streams, whether that is through memberships, subscriptions, or royalties. We'll give them the nuts and bolts of how other companies have done it, great examples to follow, and how even if they've just starting from the beginning, how to actually put that in place so that they can actually develop those streams from the beginning.
Sounds exciting. Gotham, how can listeners learn more about you?
They can visit our website at marketing-samurai.com, and samurai spelled S-A-M-U-R-A-I.com. If people want to learn more about the Academy program, and if they have a great name for the Academy a program, I'd love to hear from them. All they have to do is visit marketing-samurai.com/plateau. And I'll put a special link to people who are listeners of this podcast so that they can go down there and be one of the first to sign up. The other ways are for people to tweet me at gbhadri, which is G-B-H-A-D-R-I. Or they can tweet our company at Marketing Samurai, which is at MKTG Samurai. Otherwise, I'm very happy for people to call me. I know some listeners, they don't always feel like that's a very modern way of doing things, but I'm a big fan of the phone. So they can call our company and get through to me at 917-274-7220.
The phone works.
The phone works.
Gotham, thanks so much for taking the time to join us today on Smashing the Plateau. It's been a really exciting discussion about building businesses, particularly around digital marketing and some of the tips and tactics, strategies that work in today's world. My guest today has been Gotham Bhadri, the CEO of Marketing Samurai. Thank you again, Gotham, for joining us.
It's been my pleasure, David. Thank you.